Morning. Today's daf in Menachos is Peites. We are on Peches Amud Beis, and we're going to begin a discussion today regarding the menorah. We are right in the middle of the Amud on Peches Amud Beis, and we're talking about the neros of the menorah. Now, to be clear, gentlemen, when we talk about neros, so what we think we're talking about is the actual wick and the fire, and no. In other words, right, neros Shabbos, right? What do you think about neros Shabbos? So you think about the light, which, you know, it's not totally imprecise, but it's not totally correct as well. The neros are the lamps, meaning on the top of the menorah. So what you have bowls that basically hold the oil. They have a certain shape to them. They even have a cover to them. Obviously, a picture is worth a thousand words, and be much better off, all of us served, if we had a picture of the menorah, specifically in terms of what it looked like. I know there are various renditions of what it once looked like, but okay. In other words, but when we're talking about the neros, we're talking about the bowls on the top of the menorah that are actually holding the oil. So I'm a Rav Huna Bered Rav Yehuda. Right in the middle of the Amud, first one is the line is Baal Shem Kimidasa. And a small diversion. It's not a total diversion of what we discussed yesterday. We were discussing the amounts of liquid used in the base of mikdash for various purposes, and we did talk about how much oil is going to be used in the menorah. And if you remember yesterday, we learned that there was a total every day of 3.5 lugan of oil that's used in the menorah. Seven sticks on the menorah. Each one of them had a half of a log, so a half times seven. That's 3.5. Good. That's what we learned yesterday. I'm Rav Huna Bered Rav Yehuda. I'm Rav Sheshes Ner Shabbat Mikdash Shal Prakim Havu. So he says that it's made out of prakim. Now, normally, the way we understand prakim is that it's made out of segments. It's segmented, meaning that you could take it apart. But that over here, that's a very difficult pshat. It's probably not the correct pshat. In our Gemara over here, it does not mean that it's segmented, but rather what it means is it's flexible, it's pliable, meaning it's made out of a very thin gold. And what you could do is you could just simply turn it down, because remember that every morning we have to clean it out. Now, cleaning it out would be very difficult if it was totally immobile. So what we're going to do, according to this opinion of the Gemara, this is now Rav Sheshes being quoted, and yes, it's an Amora talking about what the menorah once upon a time looked like. Chances are, he's never seen the menorah. Okay, so in other words, this is part of either a Masorah that he has, or it's basically how he darshans the Psukim. Okay, I understand the historical issues in terms of him espousing a viewpoint on this, but still. In other words, he says that it's made out of prakim, and the way we're going to understand and describe prakim, not that it's made out of segments, but rather it's pliable, it's flexible, you can actually bend it down. Now, kesavik kiksiv kikar miksha menor v'ner seksiv. Now, the Torah says miksha achas, kikar miksha. Now, the word kikar is the actual weight unit that's used to describe how much gold is used, and it's miksha, it's hammered out of one piece. Now, what's hammered out of one piece? So, according to Rav Sheshes, what's hammered out of one piece is not only the menorah itself, but the neros as well. Meaning the bowls on the top that are holding the oil, that's part and parcel of the menorah itself proper. So kevan dimibaya tava ilav de program hava lo hava metayvele. So and look, now that we know that the menorah, that the neros are part of the menorah, and we also know that there's a hatava requirement, there's a cleaning requirement. So you can't really properly clean them if they're always going to be in the upright position. They have to be able to either A, being able to take it off so I can clean them, or B, which is now what Rav Sheshes is arguing, is that I can actually bend them down. So that means to say now that you can clean them because you can take the actual stick itself and bend it down. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges based on a brisa. Ketzad osem esakana manichan ba'oel umekanchan bisfod. So here the brisa now is going to be giving a description of the cleaning of the ner of the menorah, the neros of the menorah. So what you're going to do is you're going to actually be misalik, you're going to take them off. Meaning, according to this brisa, it's detachable. And umenichem ba'oel, now you leave them in the ol moed, meaning don't take them out of the heichal. Umenkancha besfog, and you're going to sponge it down. V'nosem b'hem shemen, and then you're going to put oil in again, madlikin, and you light them. So that brisa clearly is of the opinion that the neros are detachable. Hudamar ki aitana, the Gemara says, you're right, Rav Sheshes has another brisa supporting his viewpoint. Which is the Tanya will enter the Chachamim Marmim Lo Yemizizin Osamim. Come on, we wouldn't move it from its place. Meaning, this is again a description of the near the lamp on the top of the menorah, the bowl on the top of the menorah. Now, for a moment, it sounds like from this brisa, Lo Hayumizizin Mekamam, you don't move them. It sounds like they are movable, and immediately the Gemara jumps on that. Mechlal Di Bayle Leizuze Matzi Mazizle. Sounds like you could move them. Ela Ema Lo Haysa Zazamim Kama. So just either a small editing of the Braisa or a reinterpretation of the Braisa in either event. What it means is that lo hayazaza mimkama, it didn't move from its place. Meaning, the Nair is part and parcel of the menorah. Uman chachamim Rabbi Elazar hu, detanya. Now the Gemara here identifies that this is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, we learned on the Braisa, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzedek Omer, kimin tashal zav hayala al gaba. It was like a tashal zav, a golden plate that was placed on top of the bowl. Kishu metiva doch ko kapipia. And now we want to clean it. So what are we going to do? So there's a silver, I'm going to correct myself. There's a gold plate sitting on top of it as basically a cover to the bowl. So if and when you want to clean it, which is going to be daily, which it's a mitzvah to clean it every morning. So you're going to take the golden plate and you're going to move it to the side. Kishu nosim b'ashem and docho kapi rosha. Now when you're going to put oil in, so what you're going to do is you're going to take the gold plates, the gold covers, and you're going to move it forward, period. Okay, and so basically, once again, this idea that the Neros are part and parcel of the menorah. Uvaflukta dahani tanai, detanya. And the Gemara quotes another Bryce, and this other Bryce also is going to go through the same idea that it's a machlokus in terms of whether or not the bowls on the top of the menorah are either a separate component of the menorah or part and parcel of the menorah. Gemara here quotes a Bryce, a menorah v'nerasel baos min hakikar. So the first opinion of this Bryce could not say it any clearer, both the menorah and the neros, the bowls holding the oil. So they're part of the kikar. But all the instruments used to the tongs and whatever else this is, right? I know it's given some sort of description. It basically, tools used to either put the wicks in or take the wicks out. So so they're not part of the golden kikar. Now, Reb Nechemia Omer Menorah Hisaba Min Akikar Velo Neirsel Makachel Machtosel Baos Min Akikar. And according to Reb Nechemia, so the menorah is part of the kikar, but not the neros. So clearly in this Braisa, it states very clearly the debate in terms of whether or not the Neros are part and parcel of the menorah or not. The Maika Mifligi Bahaikra Detanya, the Gemara now bases it on a drasha. Kikar Zav Tahor Yaseh Osa. So the Torah tells us when, giving us instructions in terms of how to build the menorah, that it is made out of a kikar zahav, one golden kikar, pure. Pure here meaning refined. And yaseh osa, you make it. So the menorah for sure is made out of the kikar. What about the neros, the bowls on the top of the menorah? Tamalomar, it's called a kelim ha'ele. All these kelim, meaning including the menorah, including the neros. What about the instruments used, the tongs and the other instrument to take the wicks out? So tamalomar osa. So the word osa is a limitation. It means only the menorah and the neros are made out of the kikar, not the equipment. Dear Reb Nechemia, and this is all the opinion of Reb Nechemia. Now, good. So we have now the Braisa. Now we're still in the middle of the Braisa. So we're just taking a pause. We're going to come back to the end of the Braisa. But the Gemara just can't help itself. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. So in this version of this Braisa that we just learned together, Reb Nechemia says that the neros are part and parcel of the menorah. Do you know, just a couple of lines earlier, we had Reb Nechemia saying that the neros were not part and parcel of the menorah. So Kashi Reb Nechemia, the Reb Nechemia, Trey Tanai Veliba Reb Nechemia. All right, so the Gemara just simply acknowledges you're right, and we have varying versions of what Reb Nechemia actually said. Back into the Braisa. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, menorah ba min hakikar ve'ein makachel umachtoseh v'neroseh ba min hakikar. So in the second opinion of the Braisa, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says that the neros are not part of the kikar. Ve'lamani mekayim is called a kelim ha'ela shiyu kelim shel zahav. So the Gemara says, and as far as the Pasuk is concerned, talking about the kelim, the Pasuk is just there to tell us that the kelim have to be made out of gold, including the neros. The Gemara says, zahav be'ajuk sirbe. What do you mean? Made out of gold? Just read the Torah. That's what the pasuk says. Vasisa es neroseha shiva vehala es neroseha veir el evra panel umakachah umachtosel zahav tahor. So the Torah says very clearly that all the equipment is made out of gold as well. So you're telling me that the whole purpose of the previous pasuk was to tell me it's made out of gold. I have a beferish pasuk lo nitzcha ela lepi nero. So the Gemara says you're right, but actually over here I do need a drasha. And I'll tell you what I need the drasha for. I need it for the very tip of the menorah. What I mean by that is as follows. Obviously, the menorah is a structure where it has a base, goes up, And actually, recently we described the menorah in the Gemara pretty accurately with details. And then what ends up happening is that you go up to the seven branches, and at the end of the seven branches you have the neros, you have the bowls, and then at the end of the bowls you have a pea, you have a actual lip. That's where the wick is going to go, in the lip, at the end of the bowl, on the top of the menorah. And what we're entertaining right now is that maybe that portion of the menorah does not have to be made out of gold. And for a very simple reason, because consider now that that's where there's going to be a fire. There's going to be a fire there about 12 hours a day, according to the Rambam, 24 hours a day. But in other words, and it's going to get blackened, and it's going to need replacement. And so there's a consideration right now that it shouldn't be made out of gold. That's the Hava Mina of the Gemara. Lo nitzrucha la pineros. Sakdacha amina ho pineros ashkuri mashkar. So we know they're going to get black. And a Torah chasam amanashe Yisrael. And we know that the Torah is concerned about our budget and doesn't want us to, quote unquote, waste money. So vele avid zav kol dehu. And right now what the Gemara is saying is that, yeah, maybe gold, but not refined gold, not pure gold. Maybe some sort of alloyed gold, something that'll stand better under the heat. So the Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush now is that no, even that portion of the menorah has to be made out of refined gold, even though all this is going to be true, it's going to get blackened, we're going to have to pay for it. And okay, all that's true, but that's part and parcel of the mitzvah.
Okay. Don't we entertain the idea that the equipment is part of the menorah, gold?
No, in other words, they're not. The only thing open for discussion is the neros, the bowls on the top. That's the only part where we are unsure or subject to debate whether that's part of the menorah or not part of the menorah. The rest of it is not. And as far as it... meaning part of the kikar. The Torah tells us that... Right, the Torah tells us that it's made out... the menorah is made out of kikar. Right, so what is part of that kikar? So the debate is whether the neros are part and parcel of the kikar.
It's part with the movable.
I mean, from this picture, I don't know. I mean, there's got to be some sort of bowl attached. Okay, right. I mean, that's just a drawing. I mean, it's a very nice drawing, but okay. Chatzi log shemen letoda. Okay, the half log shemen of the toda. So we are now back at our Mishnah, and if you remember, the Mishnah gave us a long list of those items which are the measuring cups in the base of Mikdash, which are used for various purposes. There were a total of seven. And of the seven, each one of them had a specific purpose. Some of them had more than one purpose to them, but each one of them had a specific purpose, and now we're up to the Chatzi Log. The Chatzi Log measuring cup was used for the Shemen for the Toda. Tanya, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Matam Alomer, B'Shemen Shnei Pa'amim. So Rabbi Kiva says, how do I know this? How do we arrive at the conclusion that there is a Chatzi Log Shemen for the Karban Toda? And what Rabbi Kiva is going to do is he's going to arrive at this conclusion using a drasha. And the drasha sounds something like this. If you look in the parsha of Karban Todah, so you will see that it says in the word Bashemen, it says it two times. Shnei pamim. Ilu lo nemar ela Bashemen echad ha'isa omer harei hu kechol ha'menachos lelog. Now, if it would have said once, I would have said, look, what's the standard amount of oil that goes together with every mincha? One log of shemen. So by the Todah, of course we know it's going to be broken down to 40 loaves, but as we're viewing it as a mincha, so I would have said one log of shemen. Achshav shekasa b'shemen b'shemen havei ribui ach ribui. Now that it says the word shemen twice, so that means now that it's an amplification followed by another one. And vein ribui ach ribui elamait. And as we've said numerous times throughout Shas, so when you have that, the double ribui, so it actually creates a reverse effect in that it now creates a miut. So instead of adding, we're actually now going to be subtracting. Miyato kasa v'chatzi log. So and so therefore the conclusion, says Rabbi Kiva, is that if the standard amount of oil is one log, and I have over here a miut, so we're going to half it to a half of a log. That's Rabbi Kiva. And now the Gemara says, is this sound right? Ribu acharibu echad ribuhu. What do you mean? It's ribu acharibu. It's not an amplification followed by an amplification, because think about it. The first time it says shaman, that's not an amplification. That just simply says oil. So that's not adding. That's just simply saying the base amount of what you need. And the next one can be considered a ribui, but it's not a ribui acha ribui. Ela ilu lo nemra b'shemen kolikra yisi omer hareyu kachol menachos l'log. So to which the Gemara now wants to defend Rabbi Kiva, and the Gemara says, well, you know the Torah didn't have to use the word shemen at all. Because it's a standard mincha. A standard mincha has oil. Yes, there are minachas that don't have oil, but we'll assume right now that the carbon tot is a standard mincha that requires oil. As a result of that, so then the first mention of shemen already serves as a ribui. And now the second one is your second ribui. And so the Gemara defends, and the Gemara says, Achshav shenemar b'shemen b'shemen, have a ribui ach ribui, vein ribui ach ribui, elamait. Miato kasav achatzi lok. So, okay, good. So this is the defense of Rabbi Kiva, that it is, in fact, a ribui ach a ribui. Yachol yei chatzi lok zem mischalak l'shoshas minim, l'chalos l'rikikin ula revicha. Now, how is it to be divided? Because remember that of the toda mincha, of the bread portion of the toda, so it's divided into 40 loaves. Ten of those loaves are going to be chametz, and 30 of those loaves are going to be matzah. But of those 30 which are matzah, there are going to be three different types of matzah. Rikikin thin, chalos thick, like loaf-like, and revicha, scalded. Like, doesn't look like a bagel, but in other words, boiled in water like a bagel. So, kishu omer b'shemen b'revicha. Now, if you look in the Pesukim, you're going to see, where is the word shemen attached? It's attached to the revicha, to the scalded. She'en tamalamar, riba shemen l'revicha. So that means to say that the Torah wants more oil added to the revicha. So how are we going to do that? Meaning, we know what our starting point is. Our starting point is going to be a chatzi log. We're now just talking about the distribution. How is that chatzi log going to be divided amongst the loaves? So maybe chatzi log shemen v'chotzeu. So you bring the chatzi log and you're going to divide it. Chetzi av l'chalos l'rikikin. So half of that is going to go to the chalos and the rikikin, two of the matzah loaves. V'chetzi l'revicha. And half of that is going to, and the other half is going to go to the revicha. So even though the revicha is 10 of the 30, and if we went with ratio, it should therefore only receive a third of the oil. But because the Torah places the word shemen by the revicha, so that tells me that it's going to get a disproportionate amount of oil, i.e. half of the oil, even though it's only a third of the loaves. Okay. That is a lot of information, a small amount of time. And that is all according to Rabbi Akiva. So, Rabbi Akiva, if you were to ask the question, we'll start with the information, the fact that for the Toda, I need not a full log of Shemen, but chatzi log of Shemen. And how do I arrive at that conclusion? So, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a drasha. How does a drasha work? It says Shemen not once, it says it twice. It's a ribui, acharibui. It therefore serves as a miyut. In terms of how that oil is going to get distributed, that too also is working out as a drasha as well. Good. So for Rabbi Akiva, the way we understand and realize that is the half log shemen is based on drasha. That's a nice succinct way to say it. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva. Now you know that when he refers to his colleague and he doesn't, and obviously they're on a first name basis, they're colleagues, but still, in other words, when you hear the tone of Akiva, like, in other words, it's in this particular issue, he's not happy. I assure you, you can darshan all day, and you can cite me the pasuk, and you can cite me the repetition of the pasuk, and I will not listen to you at any given point in the time. It's not a drasha. Ella chati log shemen l'toda urivi shemen l'nazir ve'echarasar yom shemenida l'nida halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. He says it is simply halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Now there are three halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that he's lumping together. One and two certainly have a relationship. One, two together with three have no relationship, but okay. In other words, and we find this elsewhere, by the way, where the Gemara kind of groups together various halachas in terms of halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, even though it would be hard to find a connection between all three, but okay. Anyway, here's just another example. Number one is the chatzi log shemen for a carbon toda, like we were discussing. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says it is halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Now, again, you get to some really basic fundamental questions, which I don't know the answer to. I'll raise them. I don't know the answer to them. Meaning, how can Rav Elazar ben Azariah espouse the fact that it's halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim and Rabbi Akiva is saying it's not? It's, in other words, he doesn't have that tradition, and rather he bases it on a drasha? Meaning, what is at the fundamental root of this debate between these two Tanayim? So again, I know the question's out there, right? I know it presents itself. It's self-evident, the question. But in terms of the answer, so I don't have anything good. I apologize, but it's true. I just don't. In terms of the other two halachas mentioned by Rav Elazar ben Azariah, So the second halacha, basically, you know, totally related, and that how much oil do you have for nazir? Revius lok shemen. In other words, for the loaves that are brought in conjunction with the karbonos of the nazir, so it's only a quarter log of oil. Why? So according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, it's not an appropriate question, meaning it's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. That's just simply the tradition. And the 11 days between Nida l'Nida, when we get to the last Masechta in Shas, coming up about a year from now, about a year from now. So when we get to the last Masechta in Shas, so we're going to be discussing this extensively, 7 days of Nida, the 11 days of Yemei Ziva. So when we get there, when we get to that bridge, we'll cross it. Okay. Good. Tana Rabbanan. Belog hayamodeid. Okay, and now we're up to the measuring cup of the log. Now, what was that? That was probably the most popular, because that was the one that was used for your standard mincha. In that, for your standard mincha, it was one log of shemen. So, Tana Rabbanan ben Mitzora ani ksiv isaron balul v'log. Now, by the Mitzora of the ani, so the Gemara right now is stringing together a pasuk. Now, if you look at the pasuk inside, these words do not find themselves all next to one another, but they're all in the same pasuk. Isaron, the Isaron, balul, the log. So what does that mean? Limid al Isaron shetan log, divrei chachamim. So that means what the Torah there is teaching us is a ratio. Whenever we are preparing a mincha, so what is the base minimum of a mincha? One Isaron flour, one log of shemen. If you're going to up the isaron of flowers, you're going to remain proportionate with the same amount of oil. So for two isaron, two log shemen, etc., etc. Up to where we learned in the Mishnah that if it's 60 isaron of flour, so it's going to be 60 log of shemen. That is all the opinion of the Chachamim based on the pasuk that we just cited. Rabbi Nechemia, v'Rabbi Eliezer, or mafila mincha shel shishim, esronim ein lo ela luga. No, they say, look, even if I'm going to add 60 log, sorry, let me say that correctly, even if I'm going to be adding 60 isaron of flour, it only needs one log of shemen. Shenamar lemincha v'log shemen. So quoting from the same psukim, it says lemincha and the log shemen. V'reb nechemi v'reb yeliezer, hay yisaron balo v'log mayav delay. So what do they do with the pasuk that was cited by the chachamim? Response, ahu legufei. So, no, that pasuk over there is just telling us the basic halacha regarding the mincha of the mitzvah, in that it's one isaron. Well, what do you mean? I wouldn't have thought otherwise, because over here, it's one carbon, it's going to be one isaron. V'idach itzrich sakadat chamin ahol v'chas rachman alei lasui bedalos emaloli baye. Mina klal. No, the counter argument would be, no, I do need a pasuk regarding the mitzar ani. Because consider, he's already receiving a financial accommodation. In other words, the Torah already is relaxing the rules of which karbanos he needs to bring. So therefore, it would have been fair to entertain the idea that he shouldn't even have to bring even one isaron of flour. So therefore, the Torah therefore has to go out of its way to say that, no, he has to bring one isaron. V'idach legamer lo ashkechan. And as far as the counter-argument to that is concerned, no, that's just simply unprecedented. To suggest that he doesn't even have to bring one Yisaron, that's just simply not a tenable suggestion. Okay, V'rabbana. Ha'la mincha v'log shemen my avdilei. And now, as we went and addressed what is Rav Elazar going to be doing with the psukim of the Chachamim, now the reverse question, what are the Chachamim going to do with the pasuk of Rav Elazar? Ha'hu l'mistan dev mincha shelo yivchos midavar hataon log. When a person makes a nedava to bring a mincha, so the base amount of flour cannot be any less than that which goes together with a log of shemen. Umay nihu isaron. Now we all know the answer. What is the base amount of flour that goes with one log of shemen? An isaron. But in other words, but he's learning that out based on the pasuk. V'idach tartishamim mina. Now as far as the other tanaim are concerned, so they're going to say, you're right. In other words, not only are you right, in fact, we generate that halacha from the pasuk, we also generate the halacha that you only need one log of shemen, regardless of how many isaron of flour you're going to bring. Okay, so to the question of how much oil comes with how much flour regarding a mincha. So if it's one isaron, it's one log shemen. That's easy. That's clear. What if it's more than one isar in a flour? So do you have to keep up proportionally with the oil? So that is a machlokas. Machlokas hatanayim. In our Mishnah, we find that to be a machlokas. In the Braisa, we too found it to be a machlokas. It's just that in the Braisa that we just covered, we also went through the drushas and what each of the other tana is going to be doing with each other's drushas. Continuing. Shishalapar arbala ayo shoshalakevis. Minalam, dichsev. Now, how do we know? How do we know that the amount of log that comes together in conjunction with a standard carbon, like we discussed yesterday, like we're reviewing today? When you're bringing a standard carbon to the base of Mikdash, so it has nesachim that come together with it. The nesachim are made up of oil and flour mixed together and wine. The oil and flour that are mixed together are going to be put onto the mizbech and burnt on the top of the mizbech. Right? It's called minchas nesachim. The wine also is going to go up onto the mizbech, but it's not going to be burnt on the mizbech, but rather it's going to be poured on the southwest corner on the top of the mizbech. There are two bowls over there. One bowl is for the water that comes on Sukkot, and the other bowl is for the wine. And the wine is going to be poured down that little pipe, the little drain on the top. And where it goes, the Gemara in Sukkot discusses that more extensively. In the meantime, however, for us right now, what we're focusing on is the requisite amount of oil used for the nesachim of a carbon. And the Torah is actually very clear. All we're looking to ascertain right now is just simply how to convert, because the Torah talks in terms of the hin. The Torah says that for the large animal, it's a half hin. For the medium animal, the ram, it is a third of a hin. And for the small animal, the sheep and the goat, it's a quarter of a hin. And the only thing we're doing right now is just discovering how much a hin is. We all know the answer. We've said it before, but we're going to say it again right now. A hin is 12 luk. How do we arrive at that conclusion? That's our Gemara. So hin trace our luge havyan. So the Gemara tells us that the hin is equivalent to 12 lug. Dichsiv shemen zayis zayis hin, because the Torah says a full olive oil of one hin. Remember, we just quoted this pasuk recently. That is in terms of the preparation of the shemen hamishcha. Uksiv shemen mishchas kodesh ye ze li ledoroseichem, and this mishchas kodesh will be a ze. It will be a this. Now, the word zeh in this context, we're actually going to look at the gematria. Zeh begematria tracer havyan. We know that the word zeh in gematria is 12, and so it comes out now that the Torah is alluding to the idea that a hin is made up of 12 lugin. It is a rarity when we talk about gematria. We're in rarefied air where we're going to take a gematria and use it to learn a halacha. Gematria all the time is used to come out with nice ideas and, you know, and hints and allusions, and they're really nice. In fact, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that gematria are the parparos haTorah, right? It's like dessert, right? In other words, they're delicious, but it's not the meat and potatoes. That's generally speaking the assumption. And here you have one of those unusual situations where we have a gematria and it's used towards an halacha. Ben reminds us of the only other one I can think of, and that's by the Nazir. So the Nazir, Stam Nazir Islam Yom, that if you become a Nazir, so if you state you're going to be a Nazir and you don't say the term, so the default is going to be 30 days. How do we arrive at that conclusion? So the Gemara says the word Yihyeh, right? If you read the Pesukim over there, you see the word Yihyeh, he will be, and the Gematria, the word Yihyeh, is 30. So that means that Stam Nazir is 30 days. The only other time in Shas I can think of where a gematria is going to be used to teach us a halacha, not just a nice idea. Okay. So we know that the menorah is supposed to be lit from erev, from evening until morning. And tein la midasa, we have to put that amount in, going in from the very beginning. So that's lit the entire night. Davar acher. This is the only avoda that can be done during the night. Now, it is interesting that the Gemara says this with like no exception whatsoever. We do know that evar mupadarim, that the limbs and the fats of a carbon are burnt overnight. But I guess if we can make a distinction, if I can make a distinction, that's not fundamentally done during the night. Meaning, really, burning the fats and the limbs are done during the day. And if you just simply didn't have time, so then you can also do them at night. But in terms of an avoda that's fundamentally done at night, that's the lighting, that's the menorah. So elazu bavad, v'shiyaru chachamim chatzilog, me'orta v'ad safra. And the chachamim started basically experimenting, meaning, how much oil do I need? So, simple experimentation. In other words, we'll try this much oil, we'll try this much oil until they get to the proper shear. I made the comment yesterday, I'm just going to repeat myself one more day as we're discussing menorah. Obviously, there's fluctuation of the night, meaning there's something called seasons, and seasons mean that sometimes a night is going to be less than 12 hours, sometimes a night is going to be more than 12 hours, and it just depends on which part of the season we're in. So in terms of the experimentation, I'm just imagining, I'm assuming that included in the experimentation also is factoring in for the time of year that we're in. And I'm assuming, I don't know if I'm right about this, but I'm assuming that when we're giving the shiur, we're talking about the longest night possible, which, by the way, is coming up as we're, you know, approaching the winter solstice. Anyway, so now, interesting, the Gemara over here goes into the actual experimentation. When experimenting with how much oil do we need, so do they start with a little bit and then move their way up, incrementally up, until they hit the exact amount of oil needed? Or did they go in the other direction? They threw a whole lot of oil in there, and then, oh, that was too much, and then the next day they just detract from that. And to which the Gemara says, actually, there are two versions in terms of which way they experimented, going from smaller to greater, or the opposite. Now, manda amar mimata lamala shiaru torah chasa amam manasha yisrael. So we have two guiding principles, and the truth of the matter is these two guiding principles really clash with one another. Meaning one guiding principle is Chasa Amamon Shal Yisrael. We recently we had this idea as well, that the Torah is worried about our budget, and the Torah does not want us, quote unquote, wasting money. So if we're experimenting and we're working with a large amount and working our way down, well, you know what happens in the morning after we use too much oil? I can't reuse that oil, so that oil is now going to be disposed of, so let's not go in that direction. Let's start with a small amount, knowing that that's going to be consumed before the morning, and let's just keep increasing. That way there will be no, even in our experimenting, though, it's not going to be any waste product. That's chasa mamon shayitza. On the other hand, in the Beis HaMikdash, we have another principle, which seems to be on the exact opposite end of ein anias b'makam ashiras. Look, when operating a Beis HaMikdash, let's not be cheap. In other words, it is a place of a grandeur, of splendor. It's a palace. It's God's palace. So, in other words, let's not be cheap about it. So, even in experimenting, so let's not use just a little bit of oil. Even in experimenting, we'll use a lot of oil. And then, of course, it begs a larger question, which is when you have these two principles at odds with one another. Obviously, there has to be some sort of symbiotic nature to these two principles. These two principles have to coexist. So how do I resolve these two principles, or how do I create kind of any kind of shalom between these two principles? Okay. Get a lot of big questions for today. Mm-hmm. Let's go. We are now up to the next Mishnah. Now, once you know the facts, this next Mishnah is not difficult. But if the facts are not on the ground well, so then, admittedly, this Mishnah is really, really hard. But let's see if we can get the facts down really well. Now, we already discussed Nesachim once earlier this morning. Let's say it again. The Nesachim is the flour, oil, and wine that come in conjunction with every carbon. Now, depending on the size of the carbon, that's the amount of flour, oil, and wine that comes along together with it. Now, for a large carbon, the flour and oil is going to be, we already learned together, in terms of how much oil. Chatziahin. That's going to be 6 logan of oil that comes with a large animal, right? A cow or a bull. And how much flour? So it's going to be 2 isaron of flour. Let me say it better. It's going to be 3 isaron of flour together with the 6 log of shemen. So we are now operating at a ratio of 1 to 2. When it comes now to the mid-sized animal, the ram, so the Torah tells us how much oil. Again, we just saw that in the Gemara, so we don't have to remember that far back. It's going to be 1/3 of a hin, otherwise known as 4 logan of oil, and it's going to be mixed in with how many isaron of flour? 2 isaron of flour, meaning for the flour, it just drops down 1 every time. Large animal, 3, mid-sized animal, 2, and small animal, 1. So it's going to be 2 isaron of flour. So what's the ratio? Actually, it's the same ratio of 2 to 1. Meaning, so the large animal and the mid-sized animal, although the total amount of oil and flour is greater, but in terms of the ratio proportionally, it's the same. And then we get to the small animal. The small animal, so the flour oil ratio, so it's going to be, we just learned the oil just a moment ago, it's a quarter of a hin, which means 3 lug of oil and 1 isaron of flour. So now for the small animal, so now from a ratio standpoint, now it's changed. It's 3 to 1. So for large animal, the ratio of oil to flour 2 to 1. For a mid-sized animal, the ratio of oil to flour is 2 to 1. And for a small animal, the ratio of oil to flour is 3 to 1. Okay. These are just facts, pieces of information. Now, in terms of the wine, the wine will keep separate. Now, how much wine, once again, depends on the size of the animal. In other words, a large animal, half hin, small, mid-sized animal, third of a hin, and small animal, quarter of a hin. But remember, the wine does not get mixed in with the flour and the oil. Flour and the oil are mixed together, they're nivlal together, they're combined together, and they're going to be burnt on the top of the mizbeach. The wine is going to be poured on the top of the mizbeach. So, even though for every carbon it is oil, flour, and wine, but they are not brought together, all mixed together. Flour and oil mixed together, being burnt, or wine being poured on the top of the mizbeach. So far, so good.
The volumes are the same.
Yeah.
The volumes are
yes. Volume. Yes, correct. Now, what we're going to learn together now in the Mishnah is as follows. Obviously, there could be days where a lot of carbon is going to be brought, which means there's going to be a lot of nesachim that could be brought. So once I have nesachim of one carbon and another carbon, can I just kind of mix them together? And so what the Mishnah is going to tell us now, I'll say the simple pshat in the Mishnah, although later this morning we'll also say a complicated pshat. But right now I'll say a simple pshat. As long as we're dealing with same proportions, so then there's no hesitation in mixing them together. Because what we're not doing is that we're not going to be creating too much oil in a flour, meaning we're going to keep all of our ratios the same. As long as the proportions are the same, they can be mixed together. But if their proportions are not the same, they can't be mixed together. And so what that means now is simply that if I have nesachim of the large animal and I have nesachim of another large animal, they can get mixed together. If I have the nesachim of a large animal and nesachim of a medium animal, they too can get mixed together because their proportions are the same. If I have the nesachim of a large animal with the nesachim of a small animal, so they can't get mixed together because now you're going to have a disproportionate amount of flour and oil. That's what the Mishnah is going to teach us. I can mix the nesachim of the parm together with elim, comma. I can mix the nesachim of kvasim together with the nesachim of other kvasim, because again, it's the same ratio, comma. Shel yachid b'shel tzibur. I can mix the nesachim of a yachid together with that of a tzibur. Again, assuming it's the same size animal, so the ratios are the same, comma. Next amud, shel yom b'shel emesh. I can mix nesachim of yesterday. I can mix yesterday's nesachim with today's nesachim. Again, assuming that the ratios are the same. Now, there is no time. You'll remember that we learned earlier that the nesachim of yesterday's carbon can be brought next day, 2 days later, even 10 days later. Okay, so we can have the nesachim of yesterday's carbon, and I can bring it with today's carbon. I can even mix the two together. Ava, ein ma'arve nischei kavasim nischei parm ve'elim. I cannot mix in the nesachim of the kevas together with the nesachim of parm ve'elim. The ratios are not the same. You're now creating a disproportionate amount of oil and flour. V'im balalan elu b'fnei atzman v'elu b'fnei atzman. However, if let's say I took the nesachim of the sheep and I blended that nesach together, meaning I blended the flour and oil together. I then took the nesachim of the ram or the bull and I blended that together. And afterwards they get mixed together. Now, should not have done that. But once each one of them got mixed already independently, and then they get mixed together, v'nis arvu, ksherim. So the Mishnah says that bid the ever they're going to be kosher. Imachalo balal pasal. If, however, let's say, we took the flowers of the two animals, the sheep and the ram, and the oils of the two animals, and we mixed them together, meaning the flowers and the oils, and then we mixed them all together, so under those circumstances, pasal. Because there, I never even from the beginning had a correct distribution of flour and oil. And finally, the Mishnah tells us one other point. Now, Now, the keves that comes together with the omer, even though its mincha is going to be double in amount, the oil is not going to be double in amount. When we get to the Gemara, we'll understand that a lot better. Okay, let's begin today the first sugya of the Gemara. Admittedly, it's going to be a little bit complicated, but Uriminu. The Gemara now is going to quote a braisa, which seemingly goes against what we learned together in our Mishnah, because v'hiktiro shelo yerev chalavim b'chalavim. We have a drasha that v'hiktiro, that you're going to burn it, and that means that I can never mix one emorim of one animal, of one carbon, with emorim of another carbon. Meaning that whenever I offer something onto the Mizbech, it is brought independent and not mixed in with anything else. And so what is our Mishnah talking about, where our Mishnah now is telling us, oh, you know what, as long as the ratios are are the same, so then I can mix in the Nesachim of one with the Nesachim of another. Meaning, isn't there a basic idea that all offerings offered onto the Mizbech have to be offered independent of something else? Amar of Yochanan, Im Nisarev Ka'amar. So Rav Yochanan says, well, you know where our Mishnah is only talking about Bidiyevit, meaning not Lechatchila. So So the Gemara says, and really, and our Mishnah is talking about Bidiyevin? When you read the Mishnah and read the continuation of the Mishnah, where it says very clearly, Bilalan Elu Bifnei Atzmam Ve'Elu Bifnei Atzmam, where they got mixed in, as long as the Nesachim of the animals got mixed together independent of one another, and then only afterwards, subsequently, they got mixed together, v'nisar v'ksherim. Now, that line of Mishnah is clearly talking about Bidiyevid. And that's the second half of the Mishnah. So if I contrast that with the first half of the Mishnah, if the second half of the Mishnah is talking about Bidiyevid, so the first half of the Mishnah is talking about Lechatchila. Mechlal d'resh Lechatchila. Ka'amar. So this proposal of Rav Yochanan, that the entire Mishnah is only talking about Bidiyevid, it doesn't read well in the Mishnah. So Amar Abaye Hachi Kamar. So Abaye says, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We are going to revisit the Mishnah, and we're going to give an entirely new approach to the Mishnah. Ma'arvin yeinam im nisarvu salsan vishmanam. What the Mishnah is talking about is not the mixing of the flour and the oil. Meaning, Abaye is going to agree with Rav Yochanan that lichatchila, the flour and the oil of one carbon should never get mixed in with another, lichatchila. Agreement. Total agreement. But you know what can get mixed together? The wines. Wines can get mixed together, and why should that be? Why should there be a distinction? Actually, for a very simple reason. And because the wine is not being burnt on the Mizbeach. The wine is taken up to the Mizbeach, the wine is being poured on the Mizbeach, but the wine is not being burnt on the Mizbeach. This drasha that we quoted earlier, v'hiktiro, means when you're burning things on the Mizbeach, so everything has to be kept separate and independent. The chalav of one carbon cannot be burnt together with another chalav of another carbon. Fine. That's haktara. That's when it's being burnt together. But wine is not being burnt on the Mizbeach. Wine is poured on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. So wine of one carbon can easily be mixed in with wine of another carbon. There's really no hesitation. Ah, but there is. Why is there a hesitation? Because here's the problem. If I see now the Kohen taking the wine of one carbon, mixing it together with the wine of another carbon, so I'll say to myself, well, if he's mixing the wines together, oh, you know what? I bet I can mix the flour and oils together as well. Meaning, what's the difference? Now, I already explained what the difference is, but again, you're in the base of Mikdash, and you see things getting mixed together. So if the wines get mixed together, so then the oil and the flours get mixed together. So Abaye says, so here's the pshat in the Mishnah. Oil and flour cannot get mixed together. Now, bidiyevid, if they are mixed together, it's okay. As long as they're the same ratio. But really, they should not get mixed together. And I'll tell you what, wines also should not get mixed together, because once you start mixing wines together, so then you're going to mix the oil and the flours together. Abaye says, the pshat in our Mishnah goes like this. Once the oil and flour gets mixed together, bidiyevid, so then there would be no reservation to mixing the wines together. That's how to understand the Mishnah. Admittedly, it is a much more complex way of understanding the Mishnah, and it doesn't read all that well into the Mishnah, but Abaye says, but that's how you read the Mishnah. And I'll say that, and we'll see it again inside. Amar Abaye Hachi Kamar. Ma'arvin Yeinam, I can mix the wines, im Nisari Salsam Vishmanam. But only after the flour and the oil got mixed together. Albeit Bidiyevid. Meaning, the Bidiyevid is going on the flour and the oil. But once they get mixed together, So then you can mix the wines together, and that would even be lechatchila. V'yinam lechatchila lava atanya b'med v'amamur b'sols v'shemen. Ava yaima arvin. Now, here, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa says that there's no reservation whatsoever of mixing the wines together. You're allowed to mix the wines together, even on a chetchila basis. El amar Abaye hachi kamar. So Abaye says, okay, so let's see if we can work all this out. Hechi dehuktar salsam v'shmanam ma'arvin yain lechetchila. Oh, okay, fine. So let's say like this. If let's say I have the nesach of one carbon, the nesach of another carbon, and the flour and oil of carbon A gets burnt on the top of the mizbech, and the flour and the oil of carbon B gets burnt on the top of the mizbech, I now at this point going forward have no concern about mixing the two together because they've both been burnt. And all I'm left with is the wine of A and the wine of B. So under those circumstances, no problem pouring the two together and then pouring them down the southwest corner of the mizbech, because here there's nothing to be concerned about. I'm not going to mix in the flour and the oil because they've already been burnt. Now, hecha de lo huktar. Now, if the flour and the oil have not been burnt of A and B, so im nisarv salsam v'shmana marvin nami yayim, yeinam. Now, if the flour and oil gets mixed together, then and only then can I mix the wines together. V'im lav ein ma'arvin. But if not, then you can't combine the wines. Dema asa le'iruve solos v'shem lechetchila. Because once we start mixing wines together, so then that would lead to mixing oils and flours together, which on a lechetchila basis we do not want. Okay, that is how Abaye is going to be reading the Mishnah. Again, I told you, it's certainly a more complex way of reading the Mishnah, but it fits in now in terms of the pattern of lechatchila versus b'di'evet. Okay, let's recap. Today we talked about the menorah, a major debate in the Gemara whether or not the neiros, the lamps on the top of the menorah, are in fact part and parcel of the menorah, or are they separate entities that can actually be removed in order to be cleaned. Major debate in the Gemara amongst the Amarayim, amongst the Tanayim. And that took up a lot of real estate in today's daf. A question of the Chatzi Log for the Karban Todah. Is that a drasha or is that Halacha Moshe Misinai? Machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The ratio of oil to flour, is it always have to be one Isarin to one log, 60 Isarin to 60 log, or regardless of how much flour you use, it is always going to be one log? That too was a machlokus amongst the Tanayim. We learned together this morning the amounts of oil necessary for large animals, mid-sized animals, small animals. And then the Mishnah, which we started and we got into the first sugya, is a mixing of nesachim of one carbon to another. And the simple way to understand the Mishnah, as long as the ratio is the same of the various nesachim, so then they can get mixed together prior to being burnt on the top of the mizbech. However, we had to modify the simple understanding of the Mishnah because the Gemara quoted a Braisa that says that you should keep all offerings on that are going to be offered on the Mizbeach separate from one another based on the drasha of Vihik Tiro. And as a result of that, Abaye gave a slightly modified understanding of the Mishnah where the Mishnah is really focusing not on the oil on the flour but rather on the wine. And there is no reservation of mixing together wines because they're not being burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, but for reasons that we explained, there still would be some reservation about mixing the wines.